Welcome to First and Ten with your host, Forrest Ends. What's going on, man? How are you today?
Not much. Usually football shows are a lot calmer than that, but we'll go with it.
No way. We're not going to be calm here. We're five rock stars deep into the show. Forrest Ends is 11-year-old. He's going to put on an awesome draft, mock draft, first round of the mock draft preview for us today.
I didn't know that's what mock drafts usually are. They don't usually go past the first round.
Nah, I don't know. Some go all the way through the 18th round. How many rounds? I don't even know what we're talking about. That's why we got 11-year-old.
I think expansion drafts go to 11 rounds.
All right. So
for expansion teams.
What got you into football, and why are you so into this draft?
Well, the one time you went to Jamestown, you brought back the football, and we started playing, and I liked it. So, I think after that, we played catch a little bit more, and I started to learn how to throw and everything. And then I started watching football, and I liked watching it, and I don't know. I don't really remember how I got into stats and everything, but my favorite part is like, it was the combine. You put on the combine, and I got into NFL Network, and then from there, I just liked the draft, and I liked doing stats, and I just, like, all of a sudden, like the numbers aspect of football and watching football and kind of understanding it better.
Sounds good, man. Let's get into your draft then. Who do you have for the first overall pick?
So the first overall pick, Cleveland keeps it. Actually, the GM John Dorsey said they were open to trade it, but they are gonna pick a quarterback in Josh Allen, who's probably has the most arm talent within what most people think is the top five quarterbacks. I didn't delve too much deeper than that, but there is Mike White and Laletta and Falk, but they're obviously not in the first. So Cleveland takes Josh Allen, big arm quarterback, something John Dorsey will like, but he could be a big bust. You never know with big arm guys if they're just going to be big arm guys or if they're going to actually be able to take your team somewhere. So I think the Cleveland Browns will be able to mold him well because the GM does like big arm guys. So he'll probably be able to build the team around Josh Allen pretty well. Next is...
Hang on. I brought Mel Kiper's draft guide, and his number one pick is also Josh Allen. So go ahead.
All right, so number two, the New York Giants are picking, right? And they have some holes. Odell is coming back from injury, so they have that. But they're going to go defensive here with Bradley Chubb. Reason being, they really like Bradley Chubb, and they lost Jason Pierre-Paul, which is a huge part of their rush on the passer. And I'm not sure how he did in the running game, but he's definitely good in the, against the pass. Bradley Chubb is kind of going to be his replacement. Chubb is an edge rusher, but what really impressed the Giants was that he came in there with a suit and he greeted everybody with a handshake and the that was there when he visited. And so he impresses on and off the field for the Giants. So that's why they're going to select him over Saquon Barkley or Quentin Nelson, because they were just so impressed with him in his visit, and he does fill a need.
Mel Kiper has Sam Darnold, QB, USC for the Giants.
Mel Kiper? Isn't that the guy who nobody likes?
I don't know.
All right. Number three, when did that one come out?
I don't know. This has only got the first two picks, so I'm not having a good luck finding this. Keep going.
Number three, New York Jets select Sam Darnold. Fill a need, take the best quarterback in the draft kind of mentality for this pick here. They did pick up Josh McCown, but he's old. He's older and he's not as good. But I think McCown and Darnold obviously are different in skill level and potential. But Darnold does extend plays. He doesn't run as much, but he does extend plays with his legs. So I think he's going to be good for sitting. I think he'll be good after sitting a year, even if it is behind Josh McCown. And he'll also have more time to develop, learn the system, and kind of team bond, I guess, and learn about the guys who are on his team. And he might be able to turn the Jets around. Unfortunately, because I am a Bills fan, I hope you sack him a lot if he plays. Number four, there's a trade, the only trade. Indy trades up with Cleveland, and they trade the 6th, 36th, and 37th overall picks to get number four. And they do take a running back here, which not a lot of mock drafts have them taking a running back. But Marlon Mack is unproven, and Saquon Barkley is unproven as well, coming out of college. But he is the best. He is the best running back in the draft, if not the best prospect in the draft. So if Indy passes up on him, they might be missing out on one of the best players in the draft.
So they're gonna trade to pick up a running back?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's amazing. He's a home run hitter. He's big, and he can still make moves, and he's still quick. He did 20-something bench presses. He did 20-something reps on the bench, lifting 225. I think 29, and he's not even a power back. Like, he's an all-around back who can do it all, and he can also catch. So he's going to be a huge addition. I think what he does in Indianapolis is going to be kind of similar to what Eric Dickerson did. He's going to be good on a team that's not as good. But if Andrew Luck returns healthy and they do decide to start Andrew Luck and they improve their offensive line, you might have a huge contender in the AFC South. But at the Colts' current state, Barkley is going to be one of the best players in the league, but he might not have a lot of playoff appearances because of the rest of his team. At number five, Denver picks a quarterback in Josh Rosen. So the reason why they picked Josh Rosen and not somebody more mobile is even though Vance Joseph is here and he has a different system than Gary Kubiak, the coach that took them to the Super Bowl in Super Bowl 50-1, Kubiak's steps and playbook and plays are still kind of there for Peyton Manning, who is one of the greatest pocket passers to ever play the game. Rosen is also a pocket passer who is probably one of the less athletic QBs in this draft. Allen and Darnold are both pretty athletic, and the other two top five guys that you would talk about, Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, are both probably the most athletic guys in that top five. But Rosen, he's a pretty natural thrower. Probably the best throw in the draft, but he does have some questions with coachability, cockiness, and durability. So I think Denver gets some pretty good value, and I think they're going to be able to build their future around Josh Rosen. So at number six, Indianapolis' original pick, the Cleveland Browns pick Derwin James. James is the best safety in this class, the best true safety. True safety is a term I came up with because of Minkah Fitzpatrick, but James usually only plays safety, and he is good in coverage, and he's smart, and he's an athlete, so he's gonna be a huge help in a weaker safety core in secondary with the Browns, although they do have some decent corners that can help them besides Derwin James.
So are the Bills going to be trying to move up the board right now that these quarterbacks are going off?
No.
No, they don't give a care?
No, you'll understand why later. The Bills do get pretty lucky in the draft.
All right, we're from the 716, so of course we got to ask about the Bills. All right, go ahead, keep going.
So next is Minkah Fitzpatrick at Tampa Bay. The Bucs don't necessarily need a safety right now to win, but Minkah Fitzpatrick is going to be good for the future, and he's a DB who can work in the nickel, at cornerback, probably the outside, and is still a very good safety. He's going to be really important for the Buccaneers going forward because he's probably going to get the most playing time. And one of the people who was like kind of grading him on NFL.com said he might also be used as a linebacker, which really surprised me. But if he can do linebacker, cornerback, and safety, you have a huge defensive weapon that you're going to need for the future and maybe even for now. And number eight, you have Chicago picking Quentin Nelson. He's a big guy who is the best, who is arguably the best guard in the draft. I don't know a whole lot about him, but like all offensive linemen, he's a big guy, and he can maul you in the pass and run game. And he also just is spoken very highly of and is a guard that the Chicago Bears are going to need because their offensive line isn't great, and you have Mitchell Trubisky, a second-year quarterback, and you're going to need to protect him and start building around him if you want to get back to winning. At number nine, San Francisco picks up Denzel Ward, the cornerback. San Francisco 49ers have a weak spot in cornerback, although they are growing and are doing a good job of rebuilding. They're going to need Ward to produce for them at corner. Even though Ward is undersized, he's really good. He has really good footwork, and he is very gifted as an athlete and with his foot. Well, yeah, as an athlete, and he can match speed of corners. The only problem is he can get bucked off by stronger receivers, and he's gonna need to build up his frame a little bit to compete with other wide receivers, to compete with the bigger and better wide receivers that are in the NFL. At number 10, Oakland picks up Tremaine Edmonds, the inside linebacker from Virginia Tech, first college. I'm glad I remembered that. I would have embarrassed myself pretty bad. But Edmonds has a couple questions, but he doesn't really have any red flags, which is good for the Oakland Raiders, who currently have Navarro Bowman. But Edmonds is good for the future, and he's young, and he's really good, and he's really athletic. So when you put all that together and you have him sit maybe behind Navarro Bowman, who might be a Hall of Famer, you can produce a really good linebacker who might be the next Hall of Famer off of your team.
We got to give Mr. Mikey Scholl a shout-out. He commented on the podcast because I'm putting some of it live over on Snapchat. And he said that he teaches a class on Thursday. So at Western New York MMA Williamsville location, he told Carol, no music in the gym because we're going to listen to the draft. So he's waiting for this to come out so he can listen to it so he can judge you against the draft.
Sounds good. I'm glad that I do have some supporters in this.
All right, so we can tag him in our Facebook post and we get at least one viewer.
At least one.
Keep going.
At 11, Miami picks up Hayden Hurst, the tight end. I'm not sure how his blocking is, but he's definitely going to be a huge threat on that offense. With Ryan Tannehill coming back and your pretty talented back in Kenyon Drake, you have a high-powered offense when you just add that tight end. I'm almost 100% sure that the Miami Dolphins already have Julius Thomas, who's a veteran tight end. And if they don't, they already have a decent tight end who is going to be able to be pretty decent for them. Since tight end is not a huge position on offense and not a game changer, usually, there are guys like Tony Gonzalez and Rob Gronkowski that are exceptions to the rule.
Gronk, and he's got a great energy drink, too. I like it. It tastes good. Yummy, Gronk.
But Hayden Hurst is going to be a really good receiver for Ryan Tannehill to throw to as he comes back from an injury. And, I mean, you're filling a position of need that you probably will have in the future. At number 12, Buffalo picks up Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver, best receiver in the
draft.
What?
Come on, Bills are not another receiver.
You'll understand.
Oh, the Bills. Ah.
You'll like what we get later. All right, so Calvin Ridley ran a 4.44. And he's also the best receiver that in the draft, considered by many to be the best receiver in the draft.
But we don't got anyone to throw the ball.
We Just wait.
All right, keep doing your job. I'm sorry.
He's a really good route runner, and he's...
How tall is he?
6 foot. 6 foot, 6 foot one.
That's short. We don't need another short guy. We need tall guy.
We lost Deontay Thompson, who's a short, fast guy. So we need a short, fast guy who's good at route running to replace him. And then we also lost Jordan Matthews, but he's taller. So he's obviously not going to be the replacement for him. Calvin really is a really good route runner, and he's got good speed. He also has an issue, just like Denzel Ward, that contact can really knock him off and change his game up.
Doesn't sound like a guy that was made for Buffalo.
But the Buffalo Bills need a receiver bad. And if you bring this guy in, you're starting to build up a talent pool at wide receiver that we're going to need desperately, especially if we pick up a rookie quarterback and expect him to do well. In next year's draft, however, we're probably going to have to draft the first-round lineman. But for now, Calvin Ridley is the right choice for Buffalo if they're staying at 12. And if those three quarterbacks go off the board, we don't really have a chance of getting a good guy who's at the top of the draft at quarterback. Number 13, Washington picks up Marcus Davenport. They picked up a defensive end in Jonathan. I'm not sure if he's even Jonathan, but he was really talented coming out of last year's draft as well. But the Redskins defensive line can be really good if they bring in Marcus Davenport and rotate him in, just like the Eagles did with their defensive lineman last year, and they won the Super Bowl. So if you get another guy that you can throw in a rotation on the defensive line who's good and possibly the second best pass rusher in the draft, you're going to be able to produce in the pass rush. At number 14, Green Bay picks up Darius Geis, the running back. Green Bay desperately needs a running solution, and Darius Geis, I think, is the answer. He's fast, elusive, but his main trait is his violent running style. Even though he's a faster, more elusive guy, he still runs with a violent style and can blow people over like most power backs can. Some people might not realize it because the quarterbacks, but this running back class is also pretty deep. And Darius Geis, I think, is going to be the answer for Green Bay at running back. With a mixture of speed, elusiveness, and power, you're going to have one of the best backs in the NFL in your later years. At 15, Arizona picks up Baker Mayfield, quarterback. Some people think Mayfield won't be available at this spot in the draft, but I think he will. There are other teams that have other needs that are more pressing at other positions. And Arizona needs a quarterback, and if Baker Mayfield falls to them, they might be in business because Carson Palmer is in his late 30s. He's going to retire soon. He's not the best quarterback in the NFL. He's not really even in the top 10, but he is decent. If you add Baker Mayfield, there's a lot of potential there. And if he stays patient and develops a little bit inside the pocket, he can be the next Drew Brees or the next Russell Wilson, I think. So I think Baker Mayfield is the future for Arizona at 15. At 16, Baltimore picks up Anthony Miller. He's a big, bulky guy who plays inside and outside. Baltimore doesn't need a receiver, but if they pick up Anthony Miller, they're going to have some good talent for the future not only, but also for now. They lost Mike Wallace. Jeremy Maclin is their number one receiver, and he's not getting any younger. So if you get younger at a position and you get some talent with the youth, you are setting yourself up for the future at that position. And you're getting a really good pass catcher in the Anthony Miller. It looked like you had something to say. Oh.
Nope.
At 17, the newly
named LA Chargers. I'm going to crack a beer since we're talking about football.
The newly relocated Los Angeles Chargers are going to pick up Will Hernandez in a guard. They picked up Forrest Lamp last year, but they still need some help on the offensive line, Will Hernandez is going to be that guy, and he's going to be a huge support for Melvin Gordon. He's a big mauler in the run game, and he's pretty athletic as well. He's also super strong, so he'll help on the offensive line in the run and the pass. And, I mean, he's just going to be really good. Even though he was on a no-win team, he is going to be...
Winning's overrated.
Unless
you're in the NFL.
Yeah. He's going to be a good, really good guard for the Chargers. At number 18, Seattle picks up DJ Moore. They lost Paul Richardson. They lost Jermaine Kearse. Doug Baldwin's not getting any younger. And Tyler Lockett has been plagued by injuries pretty much his whole career. Paul Richardson, I think, was on the Seattle Seahawks. No, he was on the Seattle Seahawks. He was a guy who could chunk the field pretty well with catches and made a lot of difficult catches. Yeah. But DJ Moore is a smaller slot guy who I think is going to be able to be a replacement for Paul Richardson. And I don't know a whole lot about him, so that's basically all I have on him. At 19, though, Dallas picks up Cortland Sutton, wide receiver. Now, this is interesting because Cortland Sutton might not be picked in the first round, but I think Dallas picks him here because they lost Dez Bryant. They picked up Allen Hurns, but Hurns is decent, not good, not, like, great, like, and not a replacement for Dez Bryant.
Do you think that Dez Bryant being a free agent now is going to open up the draft? Like, someone's not going to need to draft a receiver. They can pick up Dez Bryant to help him out.
I think you're still going to need a receiver.
I know it's short term, but...
You're still going to need a receiver.
What about the Bills? Will the Bills get Dez Bryant?
No. He wants way too much money. Buffalo is not a team who pays a lot for players who they don't think are going to be very good.
What if we give them all our cans? I mean, we've been collecting cans for...
But there's a salary cap. You can't just build up money.
I can just give them all the cans from our house. There's probably like $20.
$20.
That's a lot of money.
Not when you're paying players millions of dollars.
He'll appreciate it.
At the least thousands of dollars. Cortland Sutton, SMU. Jason Garrett was the only head coach at his pro day. And he's in Dallas already in college. So there's a benefit for him there. He doesn't really have to move. He's tall and he's going to be a 50-50 guy. Dez Bryant, he was sort of a 50-50 guy. But Cortland Sutton might be your next Dez Bryant. And Terrence Williams, plagued by injury. Cole Beasley, not getting any younger. He's decent. And Ryan Switzer, still young. Not really a huge receiving talent. He's more of a special teams talent. Cortland Sutton is going to be huge help for Dallas. But if we're talking about Dez Bryant still... He is not going to be a huge impact, I don't think. I think at the best, he's going to be a rotating receiver for a team, unless he goes on a team who desperately needs a wide receiver.
Like the Bills?
No, like the Texans. If you get Calvin Ridley, you're obviously not going to really want Dez Bryant. Plus, Bryant, like I said, wants money that Buffalo's not going to pay him. I don't think we play Dallas, so that's another box that doesn't get checked. And he's older, which is a box that doesn't get checked for the Bills. So... It doesn't work out, really, I don't think, for Dez Bryant or the Bills. So I don't think he's going to be interested in signing. And I don't think we're going to be too interested in signing, to be frank. But I think Dez Bryant might go to Houston, where he plays Dallas this year. And he's going to be next to DeAndre Hopkins. Or he's going to go to some team in the NFC West for cheap, because it's almost the draft. So if he finds a fit before the draft, that's ideal for him. But at number 20, Detroit picks Ronald Jones II, running back. Plagued by injury again, some people think he's going to go later. I think he'll be good in the first round, but he's going to sit behind LeGarrette Blount. And I think if he sits and learns behind LeGarrette Blount, Detroit has a running back for the first time in a long time. Detroit needs a running back. They're bottom in rushing like every year. And Matt Stafford really needs somebody to take the pressure off of him, because the pressure is all on Matt Stafford to win every game and pass for monstrous numbers without messing up. And when you have a running game, that's really going to benefit your quarterback, and he's going to throw better. We saw that with Drew Brees this year. He didn't throw as much, and he was good, and they went to the playoffs. And you have a really talented running game that helps supply the Saints with the playoff talent that they needed. I think that that could be the case for Detroit as well, because they have what they need, I think, to get to where they want. At number 21, Cincinnati picks Connor Williams, though, tackle. Cincinnati's offensive line isn't very good. We took Russell Bodine from them in free agency. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills. So, and they lost Andrew Whitworth, I think last offseason. So Connor Williams is kind of a guy who's going to be able to step in, be a big guy in the trenches, who's going to be able to keep Andy Dalton safe and take the Bills to the playoffs again. I think it's good for the Cincinnati Bengals because their offensive line is struggling. At 22, Buffalo picks again, and they're going to pick Mason Rudolph, who's a quarterback.
I ain't never heard of him. Is he any good?
He's probably the 6th or 7th best quarterback in the draft. Maybe the 5th, tied with Lamar Jackson.
Why don't we trade our picks and get the best? We need the best.
Because Rudolph is productive. He's played in a scheme with lots of rollout passes before, and he's athletic, and a rollout pass is a play-action pass. Tyrod did that a lot while he was here. So if Mason Rudolph can do rollout plays and can develop those, he might actually fit in Buffalo really well, and we might not have to change our passing scheme too much for him. He's obviously, you know, Tyrod Taylor when it comes to athleticism and rollouts, but he can also throw in the pocket, which isn't something Tyrod could do all that well. He would either stay in there too long or make a bad throw. So I think Mason Rudolph, if he sits behind McCarron for a year, we improve our offensive line, and we get even more talent around him, we can have a pretty high-powered offense in his second season.
So you think he's got to sit a whole year? You don't think he'll be coming in and playing this year?
No, we need to improve our offensive line. Unless Richie Incognito comes back out of retirement, I don't think there's any way Mason Rudolph starts at all this season. Maybe like what Nate Peterman did last year, but besides that, not that much. Number 23, New England picks Ronnie Harrison, the safety. The Patriots aren't going to trade. I'll just tell you that in this draft. In my mock draft, they don't trade, even though they have 2 picks. They're going to pick Ronnie Harrison here because safety is not one of their strongest positions. They have Devin McCourty, but on the other side of Devin McCourty is usually Daron Harmon at safety, who is a guy that you've never heard of, so he's probably not good. And Ronnie Harrison, I think, will be good for that, as Devin McCourty is a free safety, and free safeties do a lot more coverage. Strong safeties are more run support guys, and Ronnie Harrison will be good as a run support guy. He's a good tackler, and he drops his shoulder pad a lot to make hits. But that is also a downfall, and sometimes he overreacts to plays or gets beat in coverage. So he's definitely a developmental player, but I think in the future he can be really good at the Patriots for strong safety. Number 24, Carolina picks up Jaire Alexander. I couldn't really find too many people that I couldn't really think of anybody that Carolina needs really at for young guys. You can always find somebody that they need, but I think Jaire Alexander is good. They do have James Bradbury, but their cornerback group isn't the best. And to win the Super Bowl, usually you have to be the best at almost every part of your roster. Jaire Alexander is going to be very good for the Panthers. He's undersized, though, just like Denzel Ward. But he has fast... Re- he let me rephrase that. He's good at reacting to plays, and he does need to build up his frame though, and he has durability issues. He's had some injuries that's plagued him in the past, which is never very safe to pick a player like that. But if he's probably the second best corner in the draft, and you need to upgrade your cornerback group a little bit, I think he's really good for Carolina. So now that we're moving on to 25, this is a guy who some of you might be screaming for to get drafted. Raquan Smith, the linebacker. He is... Some people have him going before Tremaine Edmonds. And a lot of people think Tremaine Edmonds is the best linebacker in the draft. A lot of people think Raquan Smith is the best linebacker in the draft. Tennessee is going to pick him at 25, which is about 15 picks lower than most of the people at NFL Network put him. So, yeah, he's going to fall, I think. To Tennessee, that's a really good team for him. Tennessee needs some help at linebacker. They do have Brian Orapko and Wesley Woodyard, but they're not great yet. And they have guys who are getting older. I think Wesley Woodyard's a little bit younger, but he's still not super young. Orapko is in his 30s, so you're going to need replacements at some point. Raquan Smith, if he's one of the best linebackers in the draft, you should take him. I watched some highlights. He is a heavy hitter. He also makes a lot of good tackles at inside linebacker. I guess one of his weak points would be he overreacts a little bit as well and can get lost, and I guess would get lost in coverage. But he will be a dominant tackler and probably a pretty good pretty dangerous against the run. 26, Atlanta picks Sam Hubbard, who snuck into the first round because Atlanta needs defensive ends. And Rodgers on the edge of the defensive line. Hubbard is, I think, probably a guy who's a little bit underrated, but he has skills. I don't think he's going to be a power guy because he has a lot of good moves that he can use, and he's good at hand-to-hand combat, I guess you would say. And I think he might fit in Atlanta. I've seen his face before, and I feel like he'll either calm the locker room down or he'll fit in the locker room just perfect. That has a little bit of crazy because you have a lot of young guys on defense. I think Sam Hubbard makes Atlanta's defense one of the best in the NFL. Not immediately, but at some point, he's going to make Atlanta's defense a lot better.
He'll make their offense better, too, if he gets turnovers.
Yeah, for sure. At 27, New Orleans picks Vita Vea at defensive tackle.
Vita Vea, I like that name a lot.
Yeah. New Orleans, I don't think, needs a defensive tackle, but Vita Vea dropped a lot, I think, but since he's a defensive tackle, he doesn't get drafted till later, I think, at least. He's going to help out Cam Jordan a lot, who is maybe an end that kind of gets underrated with guys like J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and guys who people think are super good. But Vita Vea can, I think, not only get through the offensive line himself, but probably also open up holes for Cam Jordan to get through and take up two. And if he can take up two offensive linemen, he can help out Cam Jordan a lot. And he's also a good block shedder himself. It looks like he's pretty good at getting past guards and making deflections. So I think he's going to be a great pickup for New Orleans, and he's going to make the defense that they have there even better. They've had Marshawn Lattimore. They have Marcus Williams, I think. He was the one who missed the tackle against Stephon Diggs, but he's a young guy who's definitely going to develop well. And you have Cam Jordan. So you have three pieces of defense at different positions. When you get another really talented guy on defense, it's going to make your defense better. Vita Vea is a big, powerful guy who I think, I guess you could kind of say he would remind you of Danny Shelton. He can throw around weaker offensive linemen probably once he gets to the NFL or not as skilled guys. Like basically everybody on the Bills offensive line right now. No offense. But yeah, he's going to be super strong. Probably going to be able to get inside against guards and centers. So he'll be a good pick pretty much anywhere where they don't need a D-tackle. Where they need a D-tackle. 28 Pittsburgh picks Orlando Brown. They have a pretty decent offensive line already. But Orlando Brown is the best tackle in the draft. You're going to protect Ben for his last few years because Ben's regressing a lot. And more protection for Ben is better. You regress a lot slower and you take a lot less hits. He'll also be good because the Steelers' offensive linemen aren't the youngest in the league. So Orlando Brown can slide in at an offensive line position for somebody who retires later. And he'll be able to learn a lot from guys like David DeCastro and Marcus Gilbert that are on that line. 29, Jacksonville picks Lamar Jackson, the quarterback. He's like Blake Bortles, but I guess a better version. He's got good throw power. He's a little inaccurate, but he's decently accurate, and he can run so well that people just thought that he should be drafted as a wide receiver and not a quarterback. But he's got skills as a quarterback, I think, the most. So I think he's going to land well. I think he's going to play well in Jacksonville, and they won't have to change the scheme too much. So if he can take over for Blake Bortles, who's not the best quarterback, you have a scary team with a great defense, a really good running back, and what we hope to be, or what we don't hope to be because we're in the AFC, but what Jacksonville hopes to be, a really good quarterback, which is going to make your team super scary and a contender in the AFC. Number 30, Minnesota picks up Christian Kirk, the wide receiver. Christian Kirk, muscled up slot receiver guy who's going to be able to go on short routes, break a couple tackles. He's going to be a tough guy to tackle, and he's built like a running back, so that's kind of what Minnesota needs. They have Thielen and Stephon Diggs who can play on the outside. They need to focus on the inside, though, because they don't really have a really good inside receiver. Christian Kirk fills that need, and you have an even scarier Minnesota offense than you did before. So, yeah, at number 3 in the slot, Minnesota finds their answer and maybe wins the NFC Conference Championship this year. Number 31, New England picks again, Harold Landry, edge/defensive end. They need an edge rusher. They lost Chandler Jones, Rob Ninkovich. Guys like that were important. They lost Jabal Sheard. When you lose a lot of guys in the pass rush, you need to replace them at some point, like every other position in the league. Harold Landry, don't know a lot about him, but he's the best edge rusher in the draft, according to some people that don't count Marcus Davenport and Bradley Chubb as an edge rusher. But even if they do count those two people, he's still what a lot of people consider first-round talent and an edge rusher who can be successful. I read on NFL.com that he doesn't have a lot of hand skills, but he's super athletic and pretty strong, and he's already doing a pretty good job of getting sacks. And if he can learn how to use his hands, that he'll be a dominant edge rusher in the NFL.
I was memeing using my hands.
So, New England picks up their next edge rusher in Harold Landry here, which is going to be really helpful for them. And maybe they'll reestablish themselves as the best AFC East team and the best team in the AFC East. Unfortunately, because I'm a Bills fan. And then at 32, Philadelphia picks Isaiah Oliver. There wasn't a whole lot of guys that Philadelphia needed. Isaiah Oliver is going to be good to get in the rotation, And if you're, and even though it might be hard to rotate a lot on defense, Isaiah Oliver is a guy that you can develop, and if he doesn't work out, you might be able to trade him, or he doesn't get a lot of playing time. You could trade him and get something for him, especially if he makes some plays before you trade him. Not entirely sure about this last pick, but I think it's going to work out for Philadelphia, especially if they lose a corner down the line, like Ronald Darby. So that's pick 32, so...
That's your mock draft, huh?
Yeah.
How well do you think you're going to do?
I think I'm going to get the top 10 picks pretty close. I think all the guys that I picked to go in the top 10 should at least go in the top 10. The order might not be exactly right, but I think I'll get about half right. The Inti trade might not happen. Miami probably, if they trade down, they're probably still going to take a tight end, I think. Buffalo has sounded like they're pretty adamant at staying at 12.
It's all scam. We're going down to one. We're getting the best quarterback in the league.
But if we get, if we're as adamant as we sound we are at number 12, Calvin Ridley is going to be a really good guy for us. Washington doesn't necessarily need a defensive end, so Marcus Davenport might not be the guy. If Davenport falls, I think if he falls low enough, he might even go to the New England Patriots, and they'll have their edge rusher, and they might just draft backwards. So Ronnie Harrison might go 31, and Marcus Davenport will go 23 instead. Darius Geis, the Green Bay Packers are going to pick a running back, I think. And if they do, they're going to pick the best one that is available to them, and Darius Geis with that guy. So I think that one is going to be that guy or someone similar in talent level. Baker Mayfield might not be available at 15, but if he is, Arizona, I think Arizona needs him in a way because they need another quarterback to back up Palmer. Baltimore picking up Anthony Miller is good. I think they might not pick... they might not pick a receiver, but I think Anthony Miller would be a good pick for them. Will Hernandez, I think, will go to LAC. I have a really good feeling about that pick for some reason. Same thing with DJ Moore to Seattle, even though I don't know a whole lot about DJ Moore. I feel like I can see those two guys where I projected them to land. So, yeah, Cortland Sutton, I think, is definitely going to Dallas. Ronald Jones might not go to Detroit. I don't know where he'll land if he doesn't. I don't know who Detroit will pick instead of him either. That's as much as I know. Cincinnati probably will pick an offensive lineman. It might not be Connor Williams. It might be Mike McGlinchey as well. But Connor Williams, I think, will be pretty good. Will be a pretty good option. 22, Buffalo picks Mason Rudolph. I really like that pick. He'll probably be available. So I think Buffalo should take him. And if they don't, at least have a quarterback. I really hope they don't skip out on a quarterback from this class. Because some people are comparing it to 84 with Marino and Elway and Kelly. Maybe Mason Rudolph can be our next Jim Kelly. That'd be ideal. Ronnie Harrison is a good pick for New England. I think that's where he's going to land. 24, higher Alexander. That wasn't a pick I'm entirely confident in. I don't know. Maybe they take a receiver there instead, or to replace Kelvin Benjamin, or maybe an offensive lineman, but that's basically all I can think of that they would pick instead. Tennessee picking Roquan Smith. He might not be there down that far, but I think it'll be a good pick for them if he does. Atlanta and Sam Hubbard, I can already see him in the jersey, so I'm pretty confident in that pick. Vita Vea to New Orleans, I'm pretty confident in that pick. Not as confident as Sam Hubbard, but I think Vita Vea can go to the Saints and be a good player there. Orlando Brown to Pittsburgh, I think it might happen, it might not happen. There's about a 50-50 chance, or maybe a little less than that I'm right on there. Jacksonville should pick Lamar Jackson, and if they do, I'll be pretty proud of myself and of the other people that projected him to go there. But I don't think that I just picked them because other people picked them. I think that I took a little. I think I took a second to think about what I think, and I think that Lamar Jackson will be a really good fit in Jacksonville. Minnesota should pick a wide receiver. They don't have a slot guy, and with that slot guy, you basically finish out one of the best receiving corps in the NFL, in my opinion. At 32, Harold Landry to New England. I think he's going to be good. If he goes to New England, he's going to be their next edge rusher. There was nothing bad about him in the locker room. Same thing with Ronnie Harrison. I think he was actually good in the locker room. But, yeah, you never know with Bill Belichick, though. So who knows who New England will pick? Who knows if they'll trade up or trade down? Maybe they'll trade down and get, like, 4 picks next year. I'm not sure because it's New England. And Isaiah Oliver, I'm almost sure that that's not going to happen. But I think the Philadelphia Eagles might just trade down. They don't really need their first-round pick. It's 32 anyways. And they're a Super Bowl-caliber team. And they kept most of their roster. They got some of their – they basically filled all the holes that they lost in the offseason. And Isaiah Oliver will just be kind of a cherry on top if they do pick him.
Sounds good, man. That's our wrap-up. You've been listening to First and 10, hosted by Forrest Dan.